This episode of Well Met is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 93 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is January 15th, 2016. From Denver, Colorado, I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is finally the brand new crew. So Well Met 3.0 or 2.0, Hearth Pro, like 4.0. We're all here. JR, welcome back, by the way. It's been a while since we've had you, but it's good to have you back on the show, man.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited to be here. I've been having Hearthstone talk withdrawals in the last few weeks.
Well,
so I'm ready to get back into it.
We've got a heck of a show. We've got a developer Q&A, esports stuff coming on. We've got HCT Winter to talk about. So there's a lot to talk about. But before we do, We have a new co-host, and last week we had VLPS on the show, and we didn't really get to fully indulge in well-met fashion into welcoming our brand new co-host. So we're going to do that today, and we're just going to jump into it. So in the well-met fashion, let's introduce our brand new co-host.
Ladies and gentlemen, BlizzPro, in partnership with Legion by Lenovo, proudly presents our main event. His official record, 6-time legend, professional caster, professional Magic the Gathering and poker player, the hyena of the arena, the mad hatter of the ladder, the new co-host of the Well Met podcast. The draw line breaks.
That was fun. Tannen, you're here. You're official now. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome.
I don't know if you can tell, but I'm blushing quite a bit right now.
You're full screen, so yeah, everyone can see. You're red. Okay, I don't see Tannen red very often, but he's a little red. Oh, cool.
But I'm quite embarrassed, but that was amazing. Good work, John.
Awesome. Big thanks to Pat Crane over at ConvertsArrayed for the awesome VO work. I'm like, how's your ring announcer voice? He's like, it's pretty dang good. And he did not disappoint. So, hey man, welcome. You're the new guy. You're new Kevin. So you get to sit in. We're going to be sitting with Tannen every week. Now, it's going to be an awesome time. So we're super happy to have you here. Well, let's jump into kind of our normal thing. Every week we take a moment, talk about our weeks in Hearthstone, what we've been up to in and out of the game. And well, Tannen, newbies first, what have you been up to, man? What's your week in Hearthstone been like?
I've actually been having the typical thing you hear a lot of people say. I can't get through rank 6 and 5 on the ladder right now. I keep going back and forth over the last few days, keep trying out different decks, and I'm just in that spot right now where I feel stuck. So hopefully something breaks through over the next few days and I can make legend with them this week.
That a boy. There you go. Playing some, what are you playing? What deck are you playing right now?
Honestly, a little bit of everything, but the most I've been playing lately is Dragon Priest because I kind of wanted to learn that deck a little bit more. It's a little different than the first time around when I played it, which was a little over a year ago. And
can you help
me? I actually find it really good if you can avoid running into Rogue and Druid a lot. And sometimes that happens. Like I'll win, you know, 4 or 5 games in a row, and then my next 4 or 5 games are queued into Rogue and Druid. And those are pretty tough to beat right now.
Sure. Well, I know we are planning on playing a little Hearthstone after the show. Maybe we can queue up some Dragon Priest and see if we can figure it out together. Awesome. So stay tuned for that. JR, it's been a month, man. We've been, I don't know what to do for a whole month without my JR fix. You get to hear all about sports before the show. And
yeah,
I don't know what's going on in sports right now. So get me caught up. What have you been up to, man?
Well, the biggest thing for me right now is it's a new year, 2017. And with that, one of my goals this year, one of my resolutions is to be better at raising money for Extra Life, which is a charity that I have been doing for, this will be my fifth year, I believe, doing the Extra Life charity. And so I want to, instead of waiting until last minute like I did in 2016, where I didn't do any streaming or anything until December, but still raised $650.
Woo.
I'm going to start it up early this year. So I've already raised 25 at this point. I'm going to stream. I'm going to try to stream like once a month for Extra Life and see if we can just make it an all year thing. And also I'm recruiting for the team, Team Blizz Pro. If you go over to like extralife.org, and look up the Blizz Pro team. You can get on there. You can join us and help us raise money for the Children's Miracle Network, which is a great initiative to help kids get the care and stuff that they need.
Yeah,
I love it. I've been doing it for a long, long time.
Right.
And but the biggest thing that, I mean, that was the biggest thing. But the other thing that I wanted to talk about is I wanted to give a big thanks to Albert T., one of our friends of the show, because he had messaged me not too long ago saying, hey, I want to send you a Chinese New Year's card. I'm like, all right, well, here's my address. You've been a pretty cool guy. And about a week later, I get a package in the mail. And he's known for a while. I've been trying to get the NES Classic Edition that's been sold out everywhere. And I've gone out like early in the morning trying to get one of these. And he had one for me.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
No. Wow.
What? That's amazing.
And I just want to give a huge thanks because that just made my week seeing that. And I'm just like, man, why did you do that? it was so awesome. Thank you so much for that, Albert. But I want to stream with it. And that's what I'm going to do. Like, I love old school Nintendo games, Mario games and things like that. So when I stream for Extra Life, I will probably be using that and streaming some like Mega Man and Mario and those old school Nintendo games. So
definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'll be awesome.
But as far as Hearthstone goes, I'm tired, like flat out tired of the ladder. Like I am tired of ranked mode. I am sick and tired of it. Like they talk about this in the Q&A that we're going to talk about later, right? On how to fix ranked mode. And I'll play it for a little bit, but I'm not even going to try to hit Legend this month. I don't even know if I'm going to hit rank 5 this month, to be honest. However, what I am doing is John and I know we both joined a team that is doing Hearth League, which is we're on a 5-man team. And then once a week we play our opponents. And then, you know, our team gets based on how many wins we had in a conquest format, best of 5. Based on how many wins we have, you know, that our team wins or not with the 5 team members.
I'm feeding the other teams right now, by the way. I'm feeding them. I'm straight up feeding.
I am really, really enjoying that. Like, I love the tournament feel to it. I remember doing Mana Grind very, very early on in Hearthstone during the beta. I even won a couple tournaments on Mana Grind. Beating like Reels and people like that. I remember competing for the first NA versus China qualifiers and being like one win away from getting into the top 32 for that.
That's so just, cool.
Yeah. And just like, I really missed being able to do that, but I've never, you know, I'm not a ladder grinder. I'm not, you know, I don't get to spend as much time as, you know, pro players and stuff like that. So I really love that tournament feel and competitive feel to it. And, you know, the first week I went like 3-1 against my opponent. This week I went 0-3, though, because My opponent had a ridiculous.
The excuses, here they come.
Turn.
Time this. What are we at? We're at 15 minutes, 44 seconds before JR starts making excuses. I love it.
It was, no, listen to this. It was a turn three.
Yeah.
Edwin Van Cleef, a 12-8 Edwin Van Cleef. Turn three, while I was playing Pirate Warrior.
Oh, he called.
I had no responses whatsoever to that. I'm just like, how do I beat that?
That's turn brutal.
Three,
double backstab my dudes, played coin, played Van Cleef, and then played Cold Blood on it. I'm just like, all right, well, you won.
Cool. Brutal. It's definitely a brand new, because I'm in the league too, as JR just said, and it's a brand new way for me to think about and play Hearthstone. Like in ladder, it's very much play your best play every time, whereas decks are different. I played three decks with Eater of Secrets today. Come on. So, all right. Excuses done.
I love it because of the tech choice. Like, we know the decks ahead of time and what we want to ban. And I love the tech choices that you get to make. Like, well, I'm not going to play a lot of, I know I'm not going to play a lot of like weapon guys or anything like that. So you can tech your deck to specific against your opponent.
And right.
I really love that.
Right.
Oh, it's really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's a good time. It's definitely something they do. I'll get back with you next week with the Twitch, because they stream a few games. They actually do their own little podcast kind of thing about it every week too. So I'll get back to you with that, but I just totally spaced on what it is. As for me, there's a few things I wanted to hit on before we jump into the news. First, in the same vein as JR, also doing some stuff for charity this month, actually. And on Team BlizzPro, we haven't officially set it up, but I'm planning on it being on Team BlizzPro. And that is doing 30 days of 30 streams. So I'm going to be streaming at least 2 hours a day for the next 30 days. And over at twitch.tv/kickedtripod, I've got some goals set up to try to grow my screen, but portions of the proceeds for everything goes to Extra Life. So that's going to be pretty cool. Stay tuned on that. Check out my Twitter. I've got all the details, or kickedtripod.com. There's all the details there as well. And also, this is a little bit more of a serious thing. So our very good friend of the show, our first ever guest on this show, was Freshka, back when he was signed by, was it Gold Gaming, JR? Was that what it was?
I don't remember.
It was Vegas Gold, something like that. And it was kind of a big thing at the time. They signed some big players, Freshka, Ant, can't remember who the other player or two was. But he was unfortunately in a pretty bad car accident just earlier today. And so our thoughts are prayers, and prayers go out to him. He's at twitter.com/AGG_Freshka. Send him your love. He's okay. He's stabled. He's got some broken bones. Basically, the left side of his body is just kind of
not in a good place.
And we're staying close with his fiance and finding out if there's anything we can do in the Well-Met community to help. But that is the big important thing, is a community is kind of what drives Hearthstone to be such a great and amazing game. Freshka has been an incredible part of that, not only from his incredible play that he does and his incredible streams, but just his heart. He was so willing to come onto this show. He's always been so willing to sit down with me and play. And so we really
he comes and hangs out in the chat room with us.
Yeah,
retweets on the show and everything.
Yeah, so make sure to stay tuned there. We'll keep you updated the best we can. But again, thoughts and prayers go out to Freshka. But I also know Freshka would not want us to be down and out for the show. So I just want to kind of sit here. I was so floored when I heard about it. I was so devastated. But Freshka would want us to have a show, have a good time, because he's probably going to want to listen to something this week. So let's go ahead, jump into the news for this week. Wrong one.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
I moved the button. I moved the button, hit the wrong one. Before we get started, we do want to thank our friends of this show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral. Thank you so much for your support of the show. And thank you, Albert, for the NES Classic for JR. And if you like the show, want to support the show, want to help us bring on great guests like VLPS and some of the other ones that we're bringing up that we can't quite reveal yet, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. We've got some cool stuff planned for this month. So check it out and hang out with us. Whew. All right. So we've got some news this week, boys. You got your suntan lotion on? You got it on? Are you SPF 95'd up right now like I am? I am SPF 95'd up. HCT Winter sounds cold. Is going to be in the Bahamas, March 23rd through March 26th. That's right. Anyone who qualifies, what is it? Top 16 go to the Bahamas, correct?
I believe that's right. Yeah. Four players from each region's winter playoffs will qualify. Yeah.
So if you are really good at Hearthstone, you can get a free trip to the Bahamas. So let's do that. JR, I don't think you're going to get there ranked 5 this month, so we'll count JR out.
No. But maybe I'll go report on it, because that sounds like something that needs to happen.
Yeah, right. They're going to need somebody. Maybe they need like a radio broadcaster to just send the audio of it. Maybe I can come help out with that.
Maybe
anyways,
they need someone just stand by and grunt. And I'd be excellent. I would be excellent at doing
that. Yeah, you would. You'd be good. You'd be really good at that. Anyways, that's coming up. Pretty cool though, right? We've got some destination championships here. Normally it's just all been, the preliminaries have been at, fireside gatherings throughout the world. And then you would have a kind of a final championship LAN each, quarter. How do you guys like this? Heading to the Bahamas, heading to different destinations. Pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely love it. You know, this is something that's pretty exciting, right? It gives you like an extra incentive to want to qualify for it a little bit more. In fact, I'm a little disappointed I didn't try a little harder last season and get a little deeper into Legend to try to, you know, get myself a few points and maybe make it to this. I know that, you know, coming from a Magic background, we have a lot of destinations for our Pro Tours, which would be like the same equivalent thing. You know, I've qualified for ones for like in Spain, Japan, Hawaii, and stuff like that. And that's like an extra incentive to make you actually want to qualify a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
They actually have, they talk about their like play the game, see the world. You get to do that with Hearthstone now, instead of just going to like your local thing or only to Blizzard in California. Now you get like the Bahamas, you know, where are we going next? I'm excited.
Yeah, I really want to see what they do like with other events in the future with this. This was, absolutely, you know, a really big surprise when I saw the Bahamas. The biggest thing for me, though, is the date. Like, we know when the Winter Championships are now, you know, March 23rd and March 26th. And I believe that tells us roughly around the time we're going to see the next expansion, which we already kind of knew anyway. But it'll probably be an expansion. A lot of people think it'll be an adventure mode, but I think it's going to be an expansion, because they're probably going to go expansion, adventure mode expansion every year.
Yeah, good it's point. JR, you're always so spot on. This is why I missed having you on the show, not having you on the show the last couple of weeks, because you know Blizzard calendars. If there's somebody who I want on my team for like Blizzard timeline Jeopardy, it's you, because you just freaking know. It's like, oh yeah, that was April 18th. It was a rainy Tuesday.
I've been around way too long.
Out of the spiced mocha at Starbucks that day. It was just, it's amazing.
That sounds like me.
Right. We've also got some esports news. So let's hit that up.
The Pro Corner.
Yep, that's right. We got some news in esports this week. We do have the China versus NA Gold Series winter starting up tomorrow, or if you're hearing this on audio, it's going to be at least today, January 16th through the 22nd. It's going to be streamed on the official twitch.tv, the Twitch channel for Hearthstone, which is /playHearthstone. It's going to be starting at 2 a.m. Pacific time. Ugh. So we're gonna bring you the highlights next week, so you don't have to wake up at 2 a.m. So Tannen, I think, is staying up tonight, and then JR's got the next night, and then we'll just rotate right through it. But pretty interesting rosters going on here. JR, who do we have playing for Team China?
Yeah, for Team China, a lot of these names you will be familiar with because you saw them at BlizzCon, right? So Team China's lineup is Omega Zero, who was one of my favorites to potentially go far at BlizzCon.
Wasn't that Kevin's pick?
That was my pick, actually, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or at least, no, I picked Tice. I had Omega Zero going far, though, as like a dark horse.
I thought you had Jason Zhao.
I don't remember. Anyway, it was 3 months ago. Anyway, speaking of Jason Zhao, he's also on the team.
Yeah.
And then lovely Chuuk, X-Hope, and LVGE. I don't know how to pronounce his.
I think it's like VLPS. You just say the word, the letters out loud, and you're just done.
Yeah, pretty good. So team, those though. Will be that's a decent lineup for China. You know, you got three players that I really recognize. The other two, I'm not too sure on. I'm sure that they're big names that I just haven't seen yet.
Right. Yeah. And who do we have rolling up the NA roster, Tannen?
Who we got the connoisseur of salt himself, Rayned.
Nice.
We have the expert streamer in Dog. One of the best players in U.S. over the last year or two in Chalky and in Frozen and in Sidonia. So I'm pretty excited about this this lineup myself. These are names you should recognize, like all of them. I mean, it's if you haven't heard of one of these guys, you probably should have at this time. And I'm pretty excited, honestly, about getting Chalky and Frozen on the team because I feel like these two guys have really been killing it. Tournament wise for like the last year, it feels like yeah. Frozen was actually one of my picks as a breakout player this year and last year, and you saw him really start to take off. Same thing with Chalky. He was one of those guys. He was like always the bridesmaid, never the bride, I think is the way they put it, you know.
Second place himself. Yeah,
and he finally won a big event. You know, he won DreamHack Austin if I remember correctly, and these are the kind of guys that like can really crush it at an event, because in an event like this, you really need one player or two players to really step up and take that leadership role. And I can see one of them definitely doing it and taking the leadership role and kind of, you know, rallying the troops, get everybody around. I know Firebat had a big thing to do with it the first time around that this happened, and everybody kind of like fed off him. That's a really good guy to have as your leader. So hopefully one of these guys steps up, takes the lead, and we can come out victorious again.
Yeah, it's just a really good group. I mean, Sidonia he's a big name now. Like he should be super household with the 2016 that he had taking it to the top 16. I'm trying to remember if it was top 8 or not, but I know for sure the top 16 at BlizzCon. You know, he's very good. Ray, good friend of the show, you know, always talks about how good of a player he is, how much he plays. So you know you're going to see really solid gameplay from him. Dog, you know, widely recognized as one of the most prolific technical players that we have in the game right now. And then Chalky, who, you know, kind of got made his name being like the aggro guy, bringing all the aggro decks to the tournament and doing really well. Again, Mr. Second Place. So, like, there's amazing players in there. Frozen as well. He's a cup grinder. He's a ladder and cup grinder. So if you're not paying super close attention, that name might fly under the radar. We skip over Rayned, which we shouldn't, because he's a really good player. But and sometimes I think big streamers don't get the respect that they sometimes deserve for playing great games. And sometimes people are adverse to saying good things about somebody because they like or don't like what they say publicly about certain topics. But Reynad's going to be there, and he's a great player. He's been playing a lot of Hearthstone, and you've seen that. So it's going to be great. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to think that NA is going to defeat China again for the second time. And I think that they're going to bring home some money. What do you guys think?
I would tend to agree with you on this. Just seeing the names, like, I know that there are some strong players over there on China's lineup, but I feel like North America's lineup is very, very solid. And I think right now, like, how many of these NA versus China has NA won now? They won the first couple, and then China did the whole thing where they're like, we're going to give one of our players a Ferrari if they can actually beat North America or something like that.
Well, that was West. They had European players.
Oh, that's what
in that one. Yeah. So I think there's only been one official like gold series. There was one before that, which was the one that I think you were in qualification for Reels.
Yeah, it was called NA versus China.
A long time ago, like right after beta. Yeah. And so the official big one where they did kind of this team type thing was just one. And that was Firebat and Dog, Teray, Death Star, and VLPS. So should be exciting. What do you think, Tannen?
I hope we emerge victorious. I think we will. I think it'll be pretty close. I think our roster is very strong from 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. Not calling anyone out, but the first time around, Dog and Firebat did a lot of the heavy lifting. Their records were insane overall, while the rest of the teams was, you know, fine. But, like, no one else really distanced themselves from the pack. But I also, it was, like, the first time a lot of these guys had got to compete in something that large, and especially for that much money. And I don't think any of that's going to be a problem for our roster this time. All these guys have immense amount of experience on the stage, especially a big stage. And I like the fact that we have at least one person returning to this event from the last time in Dog. You know, I said I was hoping that somebody would take that leadership role, and I hope that it's him. You know, he's been here before. He's gone through this before, and he's like, you know, the grizzled vet, you know, like the Olympic team. He's like, I was here 4 years ago when we were the underdog and we won, or however you want to put it. And hopefully he can, you know, lead the team to victory again this year, because the China team is pretty stacked.
It's a good team. It's the best team, I think, that they've put out there in this. Now, that's not saying a lot, because there's only been like four. And only two of them, I believe, have been actually team-based. So, you know, we'll have to see.
The fact that they have two of them that, you know, qualified for BlizzCon is a pretty big deal.
It's a big deal.
Went pretty far.
There's another point I wanted to make, too. I had actually talked to Firebat about this quite a bit, like, after it happened. And he talked about it. He's like, we kind of had a slight advantage as well, too, because the China scene was known to be very, very, very aggressive. Like, they knew everyone was going to bring, like, pure aggro lineups, try to smork a ton. And they prepared accordingly. This time, you know, I actually talked to some people about it, like, you know, Dog and VLPS, and he's like, that's not the case anymore. They aren't just one-sided and just all trying to kill you by turn five anymore. These guys can play every deck. And so I think that actually kind of evens the playing field a lot. And the North American team definitely needs to watch out for that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. So make sure to tune into that. Watch the VODs at twitch.tv/playhearthstone or wake up at 2 a.m., you know, work the night shift. You know, you night shift workers are gonna have a blast getting to watch that one. So that closes it out for esports this week. Let's jump into the meta really quick.
Beta or join up.
The only thing we really wanted to talk about, because honestly, the meta is not shifting that much. You're seeing a little bit of spot jockeying in the top 5-6 decks and stuff like that. But ultimately, there's one thing that I think really stood out for me this week, and you guys can add to this if you want. But we've seen a squish a little bit. According to Vicious Syndicate, the top 5 decks are all within 2% win rates of each other. So they're very strong decks. You're not seeing the two Shaman decks at 55, 56%, Warrior at 53%. And everyone else at 51 and below. It's much more condensed at the top. So that was my big takeaway. Did you guys take away anything else from these reports, or does that about hit it?
I mean, that's a pretty good summary of it. And also, when we talk a little bit later about the dev Q&A on if the meta right now seems better or, you know, or like in a good place or mm-hmm. not. That shows really that it, you know, sort of is, even though you've mm-hmm. got, you know, the aggressive decks kind of up front, and then you've got the Reno decks, you know, a little bit after that. And then you've got Miracle Rogue kind of shoved in there in the middle. I think it shows that even though, like, you don't see Paladin and Hunter right now at all, the meta itself is, you know, across classes is probably one of the most, like, balanced, you know, in terms of better word, that we've seen in a while, where there's not one true best deck. There's several right now.
Right. Yeah,
I definitely agree with everything JR said. I think he hit it right on the head there. I was going to say, it seems more balanced than we've had in a long time. Like you said, what was it, five decks within, you know, a couple percentage points of each other? That's awesome. The only problem I have with is the fact that it just feels very monotonous. They all feel very, very similar. That's like the only problem I have, of course. But I mean, like you said, I think it's great right now. And if you don't like the decks, that kind of sucks. But otherwise, I mean, it's pretty healthy, for the lack of a better word.
Right. Yep. So no big advice for the ladder grinders this week.
Play the best deck.
Pick a good deck that you enjoy, because, you know, to JR's point earlier, it's a grind. So if you're not enjoying the deck that you're playing, and you've got basically six really good ones to choose from, if you're not playing one of those, it's going to be a difficult grind for you. So.
And I want to say something that I just, like, Volbian 77 in chat, you know, he says Aggro Shaman is still the best deck, which it is, really. You can see this on, you know, the meta reports. It is the number one deck on both Vicious Syndicate and Tempo Storm. But I would like to make a point on there that it's not so much like the deck itself, but also who is piloting that deck. Like, if you are really, really good at playing Pirate Warrior, you're really, really good at playing Reno Mage, or you're really good at playing Reno Lock, that actually gives you the couple of percentage points over, you know, someone that's just piloting Aggro Shaman and may not be as familiar with Aggro Shaman, or even someone that is, you know, really good with Aggro Shaman, you might still get that advantage point there. So even though Aggro Shaman is still the best deck, if you play whatever you are comfortable with, and you will have that edge over someone else.
And you're not losing 3 or 4 or 5 percentage points by not playing Aggro Shaman.
Right.
At least by the data. Assuming this data is somewhat close, which you can make a pretty good educated guess that it's going to be close enough for most players to be accurate. So, That's it. That's our meta drop for the week. But we have a lot more to talk about. We had a huge Q&A with Ben Brode. Let's jump right in.
Ah, Geshetzan, the city of opportunity.
Yeah, so Ben Brode and Dean Ayala were on they did a live stream Q&A on, what was the day that I came back? Was that Thursday, Friday? Anyways, just a few days ago, I totally forgot. It was the day I came back. It was Friday. They sat down and did a live developer Q&A. We're a little bit used to Ben Brode, you know, pulling out a developer insights video, you know, once every, you know, 45 to 60 days. But this is the first time we've had something like this live. And we're going to go through and we're going to kind of give you the whole rundown, but we're going to spend the most time on the meaty pieces. So if you haven't watched it yet and you don't want us to spoil this Q&A, we'll see you next week, because this is the last thing we have on the docket. But if you want to hear it, want to hear our takes on it, well, you're in for a treat, because that's what we're going to be talking about. So this was an hour-long Q&A on Twitch. They took questions from Reddit, from fan sites, from Twitch, from Twitter, from all over. So they took it from all sorts of different mediums. And before they started, though, Ben Brode wanted to speak a bit on two main topics. And we've talked about these topics a lot on the show. So this will not be new to you if you listen to the show semi-regularly. It was the new player experience and the ranked play ladder. So what Ben Broda had said is that players who go straight from the introductory missions to ladder have the worst experience across the board, and matchmaking on the ladder is based exclusively on stars. So that's not a great experience for somebody just getting into the game. Ranked matchmaking is not ideal for that. Casual play tries to match new players with new players and similar size collections, as well as utilizing an MMR system. But at the end of all that, new player win rate has still gone up 15% over the last year or 2 years. I'll put that in quotation marks because that was his exact phrasing, is last year or 2 years. Surprising to anyone here? Does that about fit what you would expect to see from a new player joining up and getting into Hearthstone?
I mean, it feels about right. Like, the new player experience early on in the game probably wasn't the best. You know, right off the bat, it was great. But then, you know, a year into it, it probably wasn't the best because you're playing against people with, you know, that have a collection of everything. They understand the meta completely well. They understand decks that are very efficient and can kind of... And I had a lot of friends back then that really got discouraged with the game when they're just starting to try it out. You know, and I'd been playing for a year at that point. But they've gotten better with it. So I'm not surprised to see that 15% increase in the last 2 years, because we're starting to see them pay more attention to that new player experience by adding things like deck recipes, or you know, changing the changing the ranked or not the ranked system, but the casual system to you know, pit new players against new players. Just explaining the game a little bit more, and also, like, even in ranked play, you know, just they haven't done too much with that. They might need to. But I think deck recipes have been the biggest thing that they've done. They need totally. To, in my opinion, change, like, the tutorial. Like, the tutorial is very outdated right now. They need to do a little bit better with that, or even make it, like, replayable, or some things like that. Add some more, like, single player experiences for those new players, and maybe allow them more opportunities to build up their collections a little bit faster as well. So they have a long ways to go still, in my opinion, but I think they made good strides, and seeing that 15% increase is, you know, a good effect of that.
Right. Tannen, what do you think, man? How do you feel about the new rank play, or the new player experience in Hearthstone?
You know, I was actually maybe a little surprised to hear that, you know, win percentage up 10 or 15% until JR made the point about the deck recipe. And I was like, that's actually a really good point that I hadn't come to myself. So kudos, JR. You're a lot smarter than I am when it comes to new players. But
not sure how to take that, but okay.
Because he's closer. Because he's closer there. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah that's what that's how I was taking it.
He only runs deck recipe decks on the ladder. So
It was meant to be ambiguous. But no, I think it's a good thing, right? Like, obviously, it's better for your initial players the first time they get into the game. You don't want them to just get destroyed every time they play, right? So I think if you look at this from a business standpoint, which, you know, I try to see every side of an argument when I think about it or something like this. So from Blizzard's standpoint, a 10 to 15% win percentage is a huge win in their end, right? You know, this is something they're looking for. They want their players to have a better experience the first time they play the game, because if I have a good experience first time I play the game, where I'm not just losing every game, but I'm winning enough to make me want to win more, I'm going to buy some packs. You know, I want to craft these legendaries that I haven't even seen yet and stuff. So I think it's a big win for them overall, honestly.
Yeah. The one thing I will say, because I'm like, yeah, looks like, yes, they have done things. The one thing that I wish they would have addressed is... It, by what he said in the Q&A, he made it sound like players want to play against other players on the ranked ladder, but won't have a good experience doing that. And if that's what he said and meant, how do you, as a, like, as developers, find a way to make players not so eager to jump into ranked, right? They kind of gate it a little bit because you have to get the each hero up to rank 10, right? Before you can take it into any sort of matchmaking or level 10.
I think you have to get one up to rank 10.
Is it just one?
Maybe it's each. It's been a while.
I think you're right. I think it is just one. But it's, again, if I get through that and I want to play against other people right away and I want to get stars for that, how can, if the player base is saying that's what we want, how can they help make that happen? Do they add stars to casual? Do they, you know, not do that? Like, I don't really know. It's difficult, but I wish they would have addressed it like, ooh, if they're doing that, that means that there's a need or a want from the community to go straight into competitive. In Overwatch, it was the same way, you know, but they gate it. You have to get to level 25, which is quite a few games before you can jump into competitive. Otherwise, it's all quick play and brawls and things like that. So
I think one of the things that they could really do to increase a new player experience is introduce some incentives to pair up people like us with friends that are new to the game. And by having incentives being like, for me, inviting a friend and incentives for playing with that friend and showing them the ropes and stuff like that, and allowing both of us to be able to increase our collections through doing that. The only problem with that is since it's a free-to-play game, you know, you can just load up a bunch of your own accounts and be like, I am teaching myself how to play Hearthstone against myself by increasing my stuff. But
you've already got it figured out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's something that's really missing for players that are new to the game. And even in Hearthstone in general, a little bit, is there's a lot of these awesome communities out there, but no way. I mean, there's ways to connect with them within the game, but no intuitive ways of doing it.
Right.
Like there's no plans or things like that.
It's still unincentivized. Now they've added quests since, you know, about a year ago, you know, where they started adding, you know, you get packs for doing your Tavern Brawl, which Tavern Brawl is coming up on a year old. And you get packs for spectating a friend. You get a bunch of gold, 80 gold, right? To play a friend, win or lose. There's that quest as well. So there are ways, but it's really interesting. In a free-to-play game, people are like, well, you should help us build our collections more and make it faster. That's, I mean, giving away the game in a lot of ways. You have to be very careful with that. And so I thought it was pretty interesting, you know, to kind of see their stance on that. But, you know, they did talk about the ranked play ladder and they're like, the system's clear. It definitely, you know, people know how the system works. The skill mesh well with increases in ranks. So you can kind of measure yourself. There's not very often where one season you're rank 5 and you put the same amount of time in your rank 9 and you're like, but I feel like I got better using, you know, the same decks. Obviously, you're trying a new deck, you're not going to play it as well. But they're like, what's not working? To JR's point, grindiness. Same thing every month. Last month, me and the number one legend player in the world were within 2 stars of each other at the start of the season, right? Like that's not a big deal. It means I'm playing the best players day one and they're going to lose every time. They're going to lose. But And then, you know, the new player issues they talked about. So here's what they're looking at though. So they're looking at what can be done without an entire system change, which is increasing the number of bonus stars at the end of a season, which will also help newer players because better players will be placed higher. And then looking at resetting people at specific ranks. So maybe you got up to legend, you only get reset to rank 5. You got up to rank 5, you get reset at rank 10 versus, you know, only having to grind your last 5 ranks. Versus having to grind 16, you know, where for a lot of players, rank 5 is 50% or less of that grind. So that's kind of a lot. And then Bro does say this to the community, gut check and give feedback on what they're working on and add to what they think they could be working on through feedback mediums like Twitter and Reddit and the official forums. And we know of a few developers and people at Blizzard who listen to the show. So you can send us emails here, and if they're good ones, we'll do our best to read them and they'll get it that way. And so, yeah. What do you guys think? Rank play ladder. Anything that they can do in the interim?
I'll let Tannen take that one first, because I got a little bit I want to talk about, but I'll let him go first.
Yeah, I mean, something needs to be done, right? Just overall, the grindiness thing, like we talked about, it's been the same since the dawn of time with Hearthstone. It feels the same to me every month. And at some point in time, I always hit this wall where I'm just like, you know, this just like, what am I doing? It's the same thing, like, you know, going through these levels. One of the things they did talk about, they brought up a point that I kind of liked. They talked about possibly win streaking in the legend. You know, whenever you win like multiple games in a row, you get extra stars. You could kind of like skip ahead a little bit. It's your incentive to do well. It's also your reward for doing well. If you win like, you know, 5 games in a row, you don't just get 5 stars. You know, you get, you know, extra stars along the way. And I think that could help make it feel a little less grindy. You know, when you get a little something extra, it puts a little more pressure on you to win your games. Because once you know the whole thing's a grind and you kind of just accept you're like, I have to accept the fact that I'm going to have to play a few hundred games or whatever. You kind of just don't care as long as you win, you know, over half of your games. You know, I'm talking about like anywhere at 50% or better, you're going to get there eventually. It's just the way that math works. And this kind of adds an extra incentive to do a little bit better and while speeding up the grind into legend. So anything that speeds up the grind into legend, I think is a positive for the game, because I don't think we were meant to play a few hundred games getting into legend every month.
So, yeah. And that, go ahead.
No. I was looking to say it's a grind. It's not fun. And even more so if you're not a legend player, like that rank 5 to rank 1 can be the most frustrating part of the ladder for somebody who's at that rank 5 to rank 1 skill level. You just feel like you're stuck because you don't get the streaks. You can't really gauge as well, you know, when you are playing well and when you are not playing well. You can go from rank 1 to rank 4. I mean, I watched Freshka do it. He was stuck between rank 1 and rank all the way up to rank 5 and 6 at points multiple times throughout this season. Orange did the same thing on his EU account. His NA one, he just zipped up, but his EU, he got stuck. And even Ray had a little trouble there. And it's difficult to kind of gauge your progress at those levels. JR, you were going to say though?
No, I think the biggest problem that I have with ranked is not only does it feel like a grind to begin with, but if you're not legend and you like, even if you don't hit like rank 5, it doesn't feel very rewarding to get there. Like rank 5, even rank 10 is really good actually in the game. Like you are above, you know, the top X percent of players.
It's like 5%. Yeah.
It's like rank 10 is actually really, really good. Yeah. And rank 5 is even better, and you know, legend's even way better than that. But I'm at rank 10 right now and I haven't played that much, but I feel like I'm like, well, this is a lost season. You know, I got to rank 10. It sucks. You know, it's not that great. You know, you don't go around bragging that you're a rank 10 player.
I know I do.
Yeah, you don't, maybe.
But you know, you don't get taken seriously as a rank 10 player by a lot of the community, though, because it's like, well, you're not legend. You're not, you know, at least rank 5 or something like that. You're rank 10, whatever. But rank 10 is actually really good. And I think that's one of the biggest problems is they don't like make it feel that great, and they don't give you a lot of rewards for it. And I think the whole ranking system in general just needs to be completely revamped, reworked, and like, I really think they need to look at doing like divisions or something like that that you see at other games like Overwatch or StarCraft or Heroes of the Storm, instead of this, you know,
I love
very linear system where even though you're ranked 10, it doesn't feel like you're the top 5% or 10% or however many percent of the players in ranked there. You feel like you're okay. You know,
I would love a system where you do kind of like placement matches, and I don't know what that would look like in Hearthstone, but like, let's say, you know, bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond, kind of the same thing. You know, you get placed in silver that month, you grind out that silver ladder, and you have to get to like silver legend or rank one silver. That means next season you get placed in gold, and it allows you to kind of jump up and down that way. Like, I think that could be something cool. You play different players, you play at different skill levels. The meta will likely change the higher up or lower down you get in that. And I don't know. I think that there's some cool things that can be done to make it feel like I'm not playing against a legend player. Like right now, we're halfway through the season. I ran into, I want to say, I can't remember, but it was a multi-legend, well-known player at rank 15. He just got a late start. So I play him at, you know, rank like 12 or 13 or something earlier this week. And I was just like, oh, that's kind of weird. Got stomped and, you know, kind of continued on.
You know, I did love the idea that y'all both just had. Like, honestly, like, the light went off in my head when you talked about, like, ranked, you know, different, like, you know, bronze, silver, gold, etc. Because I've never really played the other games too much that do that, so I don't have a lot of experience with it. And I love that idea. I think that's a really fresh idea and a good idea that would help this game out a lot. But then you start to run into other logistical problems, like, what happens if a big player who's trying to get points for the end of the year, like the BlizzCon thing, like, has an account on EU that they haven't played on in 2 months, and they're, like, back at the bronze thing, and they're like, well, I mean, I really need points this month or whatever, and then they just go crush that level. So that's like one thing that could like logistically be a problem, but
right.
That's why they get paid money to make this game balanced, and we don't. So
I think
your idea is great. It's just gonna be so difficult.
I don't think bronze people get HCT points. Sorry.
Yeah, you're probably right. That would probably be.
You probably have to be like in that league, but yeah, I get what you're saying, and it also like it deludes the matchmaking system. Right now, 30 seconds every time, unless you're at legend, 30 seconds or less, you have an opponent, and he's within usually, you know, 5 or 6 stars of you. And like, that's consistent. Now you break that up into 5 leagues or whatever, and you're going to add to that time quite a bit. But then again,
That's great. That's like one of the best things about Hearthstone, right? Is I can pull up my iPad in my living room. You know, I've got, like I did it today, you know, I was at my girlfriend's family house and we were cooking, and I had like a little 20-minute break, and I went and played a couple games. You know, I can't do that in any other game that I do. I definitely can't go play like Magic Online. I can't go play poker or anything like that. I don't have enough time, but you can do that in Hearthstone. I think overall they're doing an amazing job. It's just, we always want better, right? We always want perfect. And I don't think it exists, but there is room for improvement overall.
Right.
I also think if they do something like that, like you'll also see like legend players, you know, the highest level players, like maybe if you do the league thing, like they don't drop down, you know, as far in the leagues, and then they're playing, you know, the best players at wherever they're at, you know, to move on back up. And it just makes it a little more difficult maybe to move in to that, you know, as you're grinding through the leagues and things like that to get to that point. I think Clash Royale does, you know, something similar to that. I don't remember exactly. I haven't played that game in a while now, but they have, you know, kind of it's not really a league, but, you know, something that is very, as you're advancing through, you know, you're getting to like level 8, level 9 or whatever in the arena or whatever it's called. And you know, if you're playing the best players as you know, move on up, and you're getting access to different things as you move on up. And it feels a lot more rewarding than Hearthstone does in that regards. And that's why I did enjoy the game for the short time that I played it.
You know what else would help make it feel less grindy? Just give me a tournament mode, man. Give me a tournament mode, and, you know, let me win some money and go about it that way. But That was a meme answer. No meme answers on this show. We got to keep moving on because we've only hit like the first 10 or 15 minutes of the Q&A, and there's a bunch of questions here and we want to get through. all the good parts. I'll skip over the less important parts if we need to. Arena players. Arena players, perk up.
Don't hate on it.
Well, I'm just saying we get emails all the time. Like, I wish you guys talked about more Arena. I'm like, I wish we had a host that was good at Arena. And here we go. We have the Tan Man. I almost called you the Tan Man.
The Tan That's Man.
Fine. We're going to start over. This episode of Well Met, it was just, come on. All right. Anyway,
I got, like 50 nicknames. Tan Man could be one of them. It's good.
No, it will tan never. We man. Will never call you Tan Man again on
tan
this show.
Tan and the Tan Man.
Tannin, the Tan Man, Grace. All right. Anyways, the heart of the question was, how is the team going about making the arena a better experience? And what I think Dean took this answer. What did Dean have to say about the arena experience and what they're working on?
Well, he's talked about, you know, possibly making arena into just standard, which would be interesting, right? You know, you take out a lot of the classic cards and some of the older school cards. And I think that's not exactly a bad idea because it's a little more balanced nowadays, I believe. Less cards that are swingy. Like, don't get me wrong. I'd be pretty excited about some cards getting in and out of Arena overall. Like, maybe removing Classic because cards like Flamestrike really hurt the game. I mean, you always have to play around it against Mage, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that would be a big deal. Plus, you know, it helps out some players that are newer to the game. You know, if you've only played in the last like 6 months a year, there's a chance you haven't seen some of these cards, you know, because they're only in Wild. So you might not even know what's going on when someone plays something. So that's, I think, a big thing. They've talked about possibly decreasing the amount of commons seen in Arena. I don't like this, honestly. One of my favorite things about playing stuff like Arena, it's called limited in other games, you know, playing with you know, you don't get to build your deck. You build as you go. Is I like playing with bad decks, and I like knowing my opponent's deck isn't like super overpowered in a constructed deck either. He's not just trying to curve out. You know, they're not just trying to curve out. I like getting to play these bad cards. You know, cards like River Crocolis. Like, they brought that one up for God knows why. That's the one they actually, you know, singled out. But I think it's a, you know, a good thing for the game to have to play with these cards, because I honestly think it makes you better at the game of Hearthstone. Because here's the thing. Anyone can get good at the single deck, right? You teach them, hey, like, this is what you play on turn 1, 2, and 3 versus, like, you know, these decks. But what separates the good players from the great players is, what do they do when something goes wrong? You know, when a game is slightly off curve or something doesn't work out the way it's supposed to, or their opponent's hand is perfect. Like, how do you beat that? You know, how do you beat certain matchups? And that's what's important. And you start to learn these kind of things from playing Arena. Plus, I mean, it's a pretty good way to build your collection as well. I mean, the rewards are a little worse than they used to be, but they're still pretty cool. And then we found out that in February they're going to release the arena rankings. I'm pretty excited about this. I think they're only releasing
really
like
cool.
the top 100 for individual players, so I doubt you'll see me in that. I took a very long time off from Arena there when I was like doing a lot of my legend runs for casting, but I would love to see my own personal stuff.
Yeah,
and just seeing some of this information is kind of cool too, right? You know, I have my own opinions on certain things, like what the best classes are, what the best cards are, but they're going to release a lot of those stats too. So if you love Arena and you're a stat guy, you're going to get all kinds of cool stuff. And this is the last thing, one of the last things they talked about, and this is super exciting for me, is that many of the changes were already implemented internally, and the team is already just looking at final timelines for making some of the things actually happen. That's a big deal to me, because whenever you make a change to a game like this, like be it nerf cards, change cards, move them into another format, arena, ranked, whatever, I want you to have a reason and not just a theory, right? And I want to hear that you've tested it. I want to hear that you know this is why this is happening, you know? And I think that's why you see sometimes a nerf be a little strange, you know, when they have like 4 or 5 cards change. It's because, no, this card wasn't a problem right this second, but with the change that was coming, this card was going to be a problem. Right. And you see this in other games in their R&D, like their development of the game. They have people playing the next version of the game. Right. They're like, there were probably people playing standard way before we got to and realized what cards were going to be a problem and stuff in there. And it wasn't just the cards the community was complaining about. So loved hearing all that stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm actually a little bit jealous of Arena players. I was not expecting them to have such a like full fleshed out. Like, here's what we already know about. Here's the things that we're talking about. Here's the things that are already testing about internally. And here's what you're going to see in February. And it's like, all right, that's a good answer. I hope Arena players are fairly happy with that answer.
So the biggest thing was the first thing that Tannen brought up. And I wanted to get your guys' a little bit more opinions about this. Was the fact that they're looking at maybe making Arena standard only. And that seems to be a big rift in the community. Like, it seems like there are people that love this idea and people that absolutely hate this idea. And it doesn't seem like one is really more popular than the other in the community. And I'm wondering on your guys' take on this, because in my opinion, like, one of the reasons why I like Arena is I like it that I can play these other cards. Like, it's just a very open thing. And I, you know, even though I have to know all of these things, it's not like I'm playing standard constructed. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm seeing new cards, I'm playing with new cards, and not new cards, but old cards that have been around for a while. And it's cool. It's different than constructed. But also, I know Tannen, both me and you have played a lot of Magic the Gathering and Draft. And Draft is always usually very standard or very block-oriented with that. So you only have that limited set that you're playing with anyway. And it's not open to, you know, a huge amount of different sets out there that you'd be playing against. So I'm wondering on what your guys' thoughts are, because I think I sort of like the standard, but I can see why people won't.
The big thing, and again, I probably am not a good enough Arena player to like say, well, here's how Arena is played. But one thing Dean said from their internal data is the best decks tend to be ones that, you know, have synergy in them. You know, to get those wins, and the more expansions you introduce, the less likely you are to get those synergies. You're probably not going to see another Jade Golem card come out for a long time, if ever. Again, the more cards in that pool, the less likely you are to get any sort of Jade Golem synergy. Whereas if you only have, you know, the last four expansions in Basic, you are a lot more likely to get to take advantage of some of those synergies. And so I feel like that was a really good answer to why that would exist. And, you know, a lot of quote unquote Arena haters will say that, oh, it's just who has the best minion on curve for the most consistent number of turns that wins, and it's just a giant curve fest. And that would address that. At the same time, to Tannen's point, to a good Arena player, if you're right, a lot of times I've gotten a couple of 12 win arenas, and it was way before I was even a rank 10 Hearthstone player. I can tell you that I didn't get there on skill. I got there because I got a really good draft, and that will still always exist. But I don't know. I think that there's advantages to it. I would say, though, like, it would be really cool if they found a way to easily make the card pools digestible, and maybe they could have a little bit of a hybrid of both. The big question would be, how do you make that digestible? And the short answer is you probably can't, and so they probably won't. But imagine being able to, you know, pick out some of the really cool cards from sets and make that a game type in an arena where you can play some of the coolest, most memorable cards, and not just have cool mechs are no longer a thing because GVG is no longer a part of Arena.
And John, I actually think your answer was insanely good, by the way. You actually took away like most of the points that I was going to say, and the fact that if you make it standard only, you take away some synergies, but then you make it maybe too based on synergy. Like I love the point you brought up about the Jade mechanic. Like, I had a Druid deck the other night where I think I had 9 or 10 Jade cards in my deck somehow. Like, I just took the first one, was like, all right, we're moving in, you know, and then I took every Jade card from then on in, and I think I easily got, I think I 12-1, you know, it was very easy. I just snowballed every game where I drew four or five Jade cards because I could just fit them into my curve and it's not really fair, you know? And so you get some stuff like that. So people are always going to complain, right? But overall, you know, I think I don't want to see it go standard only because I do like the unpredictableness of Arena. You're never sure what your opponent's going to do, because here's the thing. You make it a smaller card pool, I think it actually helps the better players in Arena, because now they know what cards they don't have to play around more, and they know what their opponents are capable of more. It becomes a smaller list, right? You're like, you're like, this mage player is going into turn six. Like, what's the worst thing he can do to me? You're like, oh, well, like, there's none of these cards anymore that I have to play around, so it's actually just never going to be bad for me. But when you have every card in the game, you have to play around every card in the game, and that's a bigger skill set, which actually levels the playing field more. Though, to get to JR's point, because his point was really good, that in Magic, you know, it's always standard. It's like always the newest sets. That's cool too, right? Because that's what they're trying to sell the most, right? You know, that's what they're trying to, you know, promote the most, is the newest thing going on, and that helps do it. So there's a good point there. So as an Arena purist, yeah, I want all the cards ever because that's fun for me. That's great. But when you think about like what's best for the game, getting people into the game, getting new stuff, maybe it should be standard only.
Could they ever have a wild Arena and a standard Arena? It's just a button.
Yeah, it's very
possible. We already have a ranked ladder that way. Is that too much of a jump?
No, that's a good point. I mean, I think it's probably something very... I don't presume to know how to code the game of Hearthstone. Don't get me wrong, but I assume
knows.
It shouldn't be too difficult.
JR knows.
Well, no, and even my point about drafting in Magic the Gathering, there's lots of drafts that people do of older sets and things like that. So that would be something that would be great. But I think one of the biggest things on making it standard, though, is it means also the Arena meta changes as well.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's, you know, we get the Hearth Arena tier lists every, is it still called Hearth Arena? I think it is. Anyways, we get those tier lists, and really the only thing that changes is they rank the new cards in there, but imagine dozens being taken out and dozens being introduced. Could be really cool. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. We're going to kind of touch lightly on this and skip right over. Somebody asked if they would ever consider reverting the nerfs on wild on basic cards into wild and reverting the nerfs to cards like Blade Flurry. And basically he gave it a hard no, but said it in a really nice way. And basically all he said is if the team doesn't feel that the rotations feel fresh, they'll address that. But it is unlikely that they will change cards, especially changing cards multiple times, because it's disorienting for players of all skill levels. Like when someone says Arcane Golem, I still think 4/2 charge, give opponent a mana crystal. Like I still think that, probably because nobody's played it since it got changed.
Right.
But so there was that. And then this is a big one though. Are you happy with how the meta is post Mean Streets of Gadget Sand? Patches decks on top, Kazakus decks close behind, Hunter and Paladin virtually unseen. And what they had to say here was high population cards are okay if only for a short time. Pirates are a little higher than the team is comfortable with. If it continues, it will see changes. Decks with pirate packages feel the same, and the team isn't happy with that. And it's very true. Pirate Warrior to Aggro Shaman. To even honestly, if you hit the curve right, Pirate Rogue can you never hit that Auctioneer Miracle thing. You run that pirate package and you can snowball it pretty easy on a decent curve. And they feel very much the same. You're trying to do the same thing. And so they say that's not healthy. We on the show have kind of talked a bit about how we're happy with the meta when compared to metas in the past, because we are seeing a lot of diversity. At the same time, they do revolve almost all on two or three things: pirates,
right.
Reno Kazakus, and honestly, I would throw dragons in there. You aren't seeing really another deck archetype. You're seeing some jade stuff, which I think they would be happy with if we saw more of.
And I think Jade's going to be seen more when Reno rotates out.
when 100% agree.
When Reno rotates out, and if it can, honestly, even if it slows down, just a half.
I think you're
really
going to see it more at first, unless something new happens and makes it good, because the Jade decks are actually not good. Like, unless you have a mix of pirates, like Jade Druid, I don't understand why I keep playing against this deck, because guys, I hate to tell you this, that deck's not good. Like, it has one or two good matchups, and the rest are not great. Like, if a person goes, like, small-time Buccaneer into patches, into a weapon, you're just dead. Like, with Jade Druid, you're not coming back from that start and stuff. So, I don't know why we see that deck so much. So, when Reno goes away, I think you'll see a lot more of it. People will give it a try, but we'll have to see how it fits, because I believe that something's going to happen to the pirate cards. Like, they're going to make small-time Buccaneer, like, a 1-1 or something at some point. Like, something's going to change, whatever. But I did actually want to touch on your first point from this section for like 2 seconds here about changing cards back to their old sets. So when I first heard about Standard and the way they were changing it, I actually thought that's how it worked. I thought Wild would have the cards how they were originally. Like, if you wanted to go play, like, you're like, you know what? I really feel like combo druiding somebody today. I'm going to go play Wild, right? And that actually sounds fun to me. Guys, by the way, I 100% believe that my reading comprehension is at a good level. I just messed up reading it the first time when they made the announcement. But, you know, I thought we'd go back and get, you know, like all the nerf cards would be the original version. And Wild would just be like the Wild West. Your decks are insane. You're trying to win as quickly as possible. And that sounds fun and stuff, you know, because they don't mean Wild to be like, you know, like the actual thing, like an actual super competitive thing as Standard is. And that sounds great. But towards your second point, I think you're starting to see that they're starting to realize that maybe there is a slight problem. Now, there is no quote-unquote best deck, which I think keeps the format healthy, but they said a couple stats that really stuck with me during this. They said between the first and 11th best deck, you're seeing only 3 percentage points. You're seeing a 52% win percentage down to 49. And that's between their, 11 decks.
And that's their internal meta report, which I don't know if we've ever heard officially confirmed.
Right.
Before, so that's their internal, right.
And I think that's great, right? You know, that's awesome that we have 11 decks within 3 percentage points of each other, because then it comes down to player skill and matchup knowledge, right? And that's good for the meta. But they also said, I think you made this point, that they didn't expect the pirate mix with Jade cards like being so strong. You're starting to see that in the Shaman decks, where they're mixing it. Some of the Rogue decks and stuff as well, and that's something like when I hear like a company make a statement like that makes a card game, it's like, how did you not know this was going to be good together? Like, did you play test this? Did you have guys like playtesting it? Because I made the point earlier that they have guys, you know, that have this months ahead of time and are playing with it. And I know we keep making an analogy to it, but it is the big brother of the games, of all of them. In Magic, they have what's called the Future League. They have people with these sets as soon as like a year before they come out. And I know we're not anywhere near close to that. I mean, that game's been out since early 90s and stuff. But they play test this stuff and change stuff so much to make sure that it's all fair and good. Go ahead, John.
Oh, all I was going to say is they did say that the small-time Buccaneer was changed as soon as, I believe this was in the Mike Donay interview with PC Gamer, said that small-time Buccaneer, which is, let's be honest, the real problem here, was changed days before the actual official announcement. So while they, you know, they definitely do play test these things, and, you know, at the same time too, you can let something come out a little bit powerful, because it's at the end of the day, it's a CCG, right? And it's a digital collectible card game, which means that you retype some code and then boom, it's changed. It's not Magic the Gathering where, you know, you're talking about reprints and you're talking about all this crazy stuff, which is, you know, just kind of a pain in the butt. You have to basically get it right the first time, or you're eating into a lot of your customer loyalty, into profits if you're giving new versions of the card away. And so, you know, like, I get that. I give them a pass, because I would rather have really powerful synergies that get nerfed than to have a bunch of bland things that are too hard to actually make happen. Now, to your point, right now, Rogue, what does Rogue run for pirates? They run what? Swashbuckler and
Small-time Buccaneer.
small time buccaneer and patches. Like that's it. And now you have the best early game in the game. Yay. Mm-hmm. Like that's probably too much, but at the same time, like I think that there's ways that they can correct it. I don't know if they necessarily need a change, because even then we've seen these strong decks, you know, they're back to 52% win rates. People are, you know, have kind of figured it out, I think, or at least they appear to be figuring it out. We'll have to see what the meta report says next week, if it goes up, goes down, or stays the same.
I mean, I think you made a really good point. I loved, you know, I didn't exactly think about the fact that, or they don't have as much time as, say, you know, a card game where the cards are printed in actual physical cards, so you can't change stuff. So that's a really good point. And I mean, God, I hate it when you're right, John.
I'm not right.
No, your point was great.
He's just not wrong.
Yeah. No,
as
it was
we
really
say
good.
On the show, you're not wrong. Yeah, I don't think that this is like it's really easy to get really salty really quick. And it's really easy to attribute wins and losses to combos of cards, or oh, they just had small time buccaneer and they didn't get patches in their opening hand and now I'm done. You know, and at the same time, you see players like VLPS playing Control Warrior. You see players like Racy591 playing Tempo Mage. And you're seeing these players grind the ladder and crush people with these decks and go, yeah, you're right. These are really powerful synergies, but only for people who are only so good. And sometimes, you know, we've got to swallow our pride a little bit and say that we are not perfect Hearthstone players. And I did a thing.
Well, JR is.
It's true. No. JR is. I did a thing with Freshka where I would record games, make commentary on my games, and rate how I think I played 1 to 10. And then he would then tell me how I actually did. And almost always, my rating was 3 or 4 points higher than where, you know, Freshka would put it. And so, you know, there's a lot of room to move too. Speaking of a lot of room to move, we don't have a lot of room to move. We got to keep going down this list. JR, we're going to skip over kind of the balance designing for new players and more experienced players. Ultimately, they just said that there should be difficult decks to pilot that are powerful, that reward skill at the highest level, but there should also be accessible, powerful decks a la Aggro Shaman for John. So you've got that. They talked a little bit about a typical work day for Ben Brode and Dean. And then what is a healthy meta? This was a pretty good question. How do you measure it? And what warning signs would warn you if it wasn't healthy? They look at high and low win rates for classes and decks. They look at population of decks within ranks, and then they look for healthy organic meta shifts. Like we're seeing Doomsayer, we're seeing, you know, almost any non-weapon class, and even some weapon classes are running acidic swap moves right now, right? Against Shaman, against Warrior, get that War Axe out of the way, get that Jade Claws out of the way, and, you know, get the +2 off of that small-time Buccaneer, and it's a much better matchup for you. So they're happy with that. Is there anything that you guys would add to what is a healthy meta for you? Curveball.
I feel like we're basically in one right now, other than a few very small things that might need to be changed, and that's, you know, seeing some cards that are, you see them in almost every deck, right? Mm-hmm. Small time Buccaneer is one that we've already kind of recognized. And Reno is another one that I feel is a problem, but is going to rotate out soon. So I don't see it a big issue right now. Small time Buccaneer is going to be a big issue for the foreseeable future. But other
Just
than
think about
that,
if it gets
I, like,
to
I
wild,
feel like we're in a, yeah.
There's some cool ship's cannon and right? Other decks or other cards like that.
I mean, it's in Wild right now, right? It's just no one plays Wild.
Oh yeah,
actually, I take that back. There are people that play Wild, but it's significantly less than those that play Standard.
Yeah,
I don't know what I was.
I think the only thing I could ask for to make it healthier, it would just be better for me personally, is a little more variety. I have a different perspective than a lot of people too. You know, I used to do a ton of casting, and when I would do a ton of casting, you know, it got really boring on the decks for a while because people figured it out pretty quick when they're playing for thousands of dollars that I'm just going to play the best decks. And you would just, I mean, I can't tell you, if I had to cast another game of Patron Warrior, I might just end it all, honestly. I just wouldn't want to ever do it again. You know, got real sick of it. So a little more variety, I think, would be a big thing for me and a big shot in the arm for the game, because it feels like I'm playing against the same three or four classes every time I play the game. And I would love to see Hunter and Paladin and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, what's going to happen when the Dragon cards rotate for Priest? Because are we going to go back to having Priest be a joke class again? You know?
Purify Priest. That's what's going to happen. That's what is going to happen. Couple more here and we'll get out of here. Are you satisfied with the current state of Wild? Guys, keep in mind, we've only had one rotation of Wild cards. The next set or the next rotation will have five sets in Wild, adding three new sets. And
but aren't all sets in Wild?
Yeah, but he means Wild only, you know, so.
Oh, gotcha. Right. Gotcha.
But like in Wild only on top of the new things coming out.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. Understood. So, and that, Standard is approximately twice as popular as Wild. So that kind of implies that one out of every three players is, playing Wild to some
that
degree.
That feels high to me.
That feels high. He's like, it's
like
not
75%.
Right. He said it's not 10%. For me, I feel like 20 to 25% of people playing Wild feels more realistic. But then again, Vank Swisher is the Wild King and he plays like 1,000 games. So that might be all right there.
It could just be counting if you've played a Wild game ever. I know for a fact I have not. I have actually not played a ranked game of Wild since they released Standard.
Can I
go in there every once in a while?
Can I confide in you guys about something?
If this is a safe space. This is a safe space, John.
Safe space. Don't tell anybody who listens to the show, but on day one of the expansion, I got the Play 75 Murlocs quest. And I'm like, I'm going to go into Wild. And I'm like, no. I'm just going to play Finley decks. And I'm going to get it one at a time. I am currently at like 53 Murlocs. So Sir Finley's summoned. Yes, it's been there the whole time. And I haven't been able to clear all my quests because I keep getting Paladin, Hunter, and Tavern Brawl ones. So that's
dedication, Holmes.
Yeah. So I'm going to do it now. It's just a point at that point. So
how can you give up now? I think you just have to keep trucking
along.
I don't think
you could pay me to get rid of that quest until I complete it. So anyways, that's the current state of Wild. Are you concerned about wording consistency? Are you opposed to editing old cards? Reels is actively working on this, and being clear on cards is important, but the game should hopefully always play the card correctly. So it's likely players will still understand the card, even if the wording isn't exactly right away. Because you can't misplay. Go ahead, JR.
Every card game in existence has this problem.
Yep.
Like that's why when you play Magic, you call over a judge to be like, what's the ruling on this? Because this is weird.
Have you seen cards from the early 90s?
Yeah. Every card game has this issue.
But in a digital one, it'll still always resolve correctly unless it's a bug. Yep. Mm-hmm. But there's no way to get around that. So that's kind of an advantage. Paladin class identity, they really like putting class identity around buffs, more later game cards and healing when Reno rotates out. So for those wanting Reno to go into the basic Evergreen set, that's not happening. Paladin should be much better. Right? Right?
Aren't you happy, JR?
We're going to get Tino next expansion, and it's the same thing.
Tino,
I'd be okay with it. I like control decks, but I think there's a chance that you're going to see like the Paladin control decks show back up. I think players who just play a lot of Reno decks, a lot of control decks, they're going to be looking for something to like replace that. And all of the best healing options are in Paladin. So you might see something like that happen. And they pay attention, right? You know, we saw Shaman and they tried a Priest really get pushed in the last year because they were so bad that I think you're going to see, you know, Hunter and Paladin get kind of helped out.
Right. Last thing, the closing piece here, that the community can expect more of these in the future and will likely revolve around hot topics in Hearthstone and not when are you going to fix X or announce this or address that. So much more kind of like, you know, in the Jeff Kaplan ones, I hate to always parallel because I feel like the Hearthstone team, when they get compared to a guy who sits down for 10 minutes and talks about an FPS every couple of weeks, like I think they're very different things and people should start treating them differently. I'm not giving the Hearthstone team an excuse to like, don't communicate. I think that they could and are definitely in 2017 communicating more, but, let's stop making that comparison, please. Come on. But they do want feedback on it. Does the community like these? Was it valuable? Are there places where people disagree? Do they want a different forum for that? So this feedback is a gift, boys. Feedback is indeed a gift. And getting to speak to developers on a semi-frequent basis, it's not something to be taken lightly. We've seen what has happened to other games when people mistreat the devs because they can't get over something that they don't like in the games. I mean, we saw the Warcraft developers all go to the Warcraft devs account, and that was, you know, kind of a cluster for a while. And as a community, let's make sure that we're just giving good feedback. I know whenever I get a spicy email, don't even reply to it and just delete it because that's not how it's meant to be. So be nice, be good to each other, do good things. Overall, closing thoughts on the Ben Brode, Dean Ayala developer Q&A.
I think we got a lot of information from it, and it was all good and open communication. They asked a lot of questions on what they asked the community what they wanted to see, as far as even when they were saying, we want you guys to discuss Standard versus Wild in Arena. We want to know your thoughts on the new player experience. We want to know your thoughts on the ranked play, et cetera, et cetera. We're listening. We want to know what you guys want so that we can do that. And then even at the end, do you guys like this Q&A? Do you want to see more of this? The dev team is very open about this, and we should take advantage of it and, you know, let our opinions be known. Let it be, be critical, but don't be destructive is a good way of putting it. Yeah. And I think I think it bodes for good things to come in 2017. And I hope that the Hearthstone development team continues doing this.
Do you say it brodes for good things to happen?
I was going to go there.
I almost went there and I decided
I was going to go there.
I'm glad we're all on the same page on that one. Yeah. I'm glad we're all right there. Tannen, final thoughts?
For me, I think JR just said the most important thing for me. It's like they said, we are listening, right? That's the most important thing, is that the people providing the product are listening to the consumer. And, you know, the consumer's not always right. That old saying has kind of, you know, gone out the window. But at least they are listening. If, you know, everyone is complaining about the same thing, they're going to address it most of the time. So I think being more transparent from the mothership here from Blizzard is just a positive thing in every way you can think of.
Yep. Totally agree. Oh, all right. I think we just need to get out of here. I think it's just about that time. Before we do, we did get some questions in chat. They were actually pretty good ones, but we just don't have time. We're already at an hour and a half. Got to get out of here. But thank you for those questions. Before we get out of here, we do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral. Thank you so much for your support of the show. What else do we have going on in Patreon land this week, Tannen?
Yeah, we got Matthew K. and Craig F., new additions to Patreon. Thanks, guys.
My soundboard just crashed.
Oh no. We need more Patreon help to help with the soundboard.
The John's soundboard broke.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's back.
It's back. We're back. We're back and we're ready. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. So thank you again, Matthew K., Craig F. Welcome. I know they've already been hanging out with us in our Well-Met Facebook group, which we talk a lot on right now. There's a lot of good conversations. Every day or two, there's something new that comes up. So I definitely love it. Come hang out with us. And iTunes reviews. What do we got going on this week? Or last 2 weeks, I guess, JR.
Yeah, we had an iTunes review in the U.S. from Lupo Minaro, 1927, which was a great year, in my opinion.
Fair.
It was before. Okay. It was during the Roaring Twenties, before everything came crashing down. So everybody was worried. What? It was a great year. Probably a great year for wine too. Very aged.
Sure. Might as well be, anyway, I guess.
Anyway, I'm focused on this 1927.
There was no patches yet, so.
I wonder if that's when they were born. Interesting. I would love that.
They would be almost 90 years old, and that's awesome.
A 90-year-old listening to Hearthstone podcast, I would be very happy to hear that.
That's so me in 60 years.
Right? I hope podcasts are still a thing in 60 years or something like it.
Anyway, if you'd like to leave an iTunes review, just head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone after you filter for podcasts. You'll find us very easily there. Leave us a 5-star review. It helps us out more ways than you can even imagine. So many more ways than you can imagine, even if you were born in 1927.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's go ahead and close out the week. Give our shout outs where everyone can find you guys on the social medias and other things that you're working on for this week. Tannen, happy first official show as like the crew. This is the normal crew. Well met. This is what you're going to get every week from now on. So send us your emails. Let us know how you like it. And what are your closing thoughts here, Tannen, and all your shout out stuff too?
Actually loved the first week, loving the second week. Can't wait to get, you know, more done with you, JR, and you, John. Really looking forward to just having a solid year and doing as much as I can to live up to Kevin's legacy before I can ever even think about filling his shoes. You can find me on Twitter at TheTannenGrace. And like John mentioned earlier, we do have a Facebook page that you can join. And we're very active in it. I know for a fact I'm having a lot of fun with it. So any questions you have for us guys, definitely bring it in there. And then the only shout out I have is for Fresca. Just I hope you get better soon, buddy.
Yes, absolutely. Cool. JR, what about you, man?
I want to give a shout out to Legion by Lenovo. That's their new product that they're coming out with, the laptop. They help sponsor the show. They help. Partnered with BlizzPro and things like that.
They
came into our chat room.
They subbed to
the channel. Yeah, they came and chatted us while doing the show,
giving me compliments on my in-ears.
Yeah, no, the people over there, like, they're like us. They're all about community. When they built that Legion laptop, they took in like community information from the community on what the community wanted for a gaming laptop, and that's what they built. And that's why we partner so well with them. And they've been really cool to work with. So with that said, the other thing is, look, this weekend I might try to do my first extra live stream once my TV comes in. Gonna play some old school Mario or Mega Man or something like that.
So I'll probably do it
on twitch.tv/BlizzPro or twitch.tv/EldorianBP. I'm not
Follow
sure
them
yet.
Both. Follow them both. Yep. Cool. And then you're on Twitter at Eldorian, right?
That is correct.
Cool.
Follow me there and I'll tweet it out.
All right. Cool. Well, as for me, I think I know Tannen and I, we're going to try and stream a little bit right here. We're going to take a little break, stretch our legs, go to the bathroom, stuff like that. But I think we're going to rock some Dragon Priest over at twitch.tv/kicktripod, and we're going to be hanging out there. JR, I know you usually can't hang out, but are you going to hang out with us? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, tomorrow's Martin Luther King Day. I have the day off.
Oh, we're all going to be there. This is going to be ballin'. So come hang out with us over at twitch.tv/kicktripod, and we'll do a thing. And yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, I'm there, twitter.com/kicktripod, and that's it. So thanks for joining us for another episode of Well Met. Join us live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzbro to get in on the conversation, and follow the show on Twitter at Well Met Podcast for additional news and updates. Well Met is supported by our fans. If you love our show, you can find out how to become a part of the family at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. That's also any Patreon, any patron at any level gets access to that, that Facebook group. So make sure to, if you want to get involved, $1 a month, hang out with us. We're posting there almost every day. Patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Also find Well Met apparel at store.blizzbro.com. I'm giving some t-shirts away this month on my stream. So I'm doing my 30 days of stream thing. So I'm giving Well Met t-shirts away. And yeah, special thanks to Jake Butno for our music and site designs for graphic design. This has been episode number 93 of Well Met. We'll see you again next week. Bye, guys. Bye.
For your games!